We've all heard the saying, haven't we? Life is short.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's sort of baked into how we think.
It shapes how generations plan, how they dream, how they live, really. But what if that conventional wisdom is, well, rapidly becoming outdated?
Okay, interesting. Go on.
What if, thanks to this, unprecedented convergence of science and technology, life could actually be incredibly surprisingly long?
Ah, right. That's the big shift we're seeing now.
Exactly. And that's the extraordinary future we're diving into today.
Precisely. This deep dive isn't just about some hopeful vision. It's really about revolutionary advancements.
Real advancement.
Yeah, tangible things that are making significantly extended human lifespans a very real possibility.
We're talking about a future that fundamentally reshapes everything, aren't we?
Everything, from your personal goals, how you structure your life, to how businesses operate, serving a radically different kind of client, even.
So our mission today is to unpack what this monumental shift means for you listening right now. We're going to distill the most vital insights from the sources you shared, give you a powerful shortcut to understanding this paradigm shift.
Yeah, cut through the noise.
And here's where it gets truly fascinating, I think. Think about exponential growth in tech. AI, for example.
Right.
It's been developing for decades, kind of slowly. But then suddenly, the last couple of years, just this explosive, phenomenal acceleration.
It's been incredible to watch. Almost overnight, it feels like.
So how does that pattern directly parallel what we're now seeing in the longevity space?
It's an incredible parallel. What we're witnessing is the application of that exact same exponential growth curve,
Right.
but to human biology.
Wow, okay.
A key concept here is longevity escape velocity,
LEV.
LEV, right, or that term.
This is the hypothetical point where for every year you manage to stay alive, your life expectancy actually increases by more than a year.
So you're literally outrunning time.
You're effectively outrunning time, yeah.
Yeah.
The Abundance 360 community, they're, deeply immersed in these technologies.
They've been discussing this a lot, predicting we could reach this point by around 2030.
2030, that's really soon.
It is. And what truly grabs your attention is Dr. David Sinclair, a leading researcher in the field.
Yeah, big name.
He's even asserted that we already have the fundamental technology needed to make longevity escape velocity viable, like today.
Okay, that sounds almost too good to be true. If the tech exists, what are the biggest hurdles then? Is it regulation, cost, access?
That's a crucial question, absolutely. The challenge isn't really the existence of the core science. It's more about widespread availability, integration into everyday medicine.
So getting it out of the lab and to the people.
Exactly. It's not yet democratized. Sinclair's team, for instance, they've already reversed aging in mice, biologically proving it's viable.
Right.
Now the focus is on scaling it up, getting regulatory approval, making it affordable, making it accessible to everyone.
So, okay, if this tech is known and it's genuinely on the horizon, it kind of boils down to a very practical, immediate goal for you listening now.
It does. And that goal is basically don't die of something stupid in the short term. Blunt, but makes sense.
Yeah, it's about preserving your health now so you're actually around to access these future advancements when they become widely available.
Okay. So we have this incredible possibility coming. But what's driving this acceleration right now? It feels like a convergence of things.
It is several powerful forces, but
Yeah.
AI is definitely at the epicenter.
Right. So tell us, how is AI not just, say, improving diagnostics, but fundamentally reshaping medicine itself?
Well, imagine AI not only diagnosing with precision that surpasses human doctors.
Which we've seen in some studies, right? With scans.
Exactly. Some research showed AI alone hitting 93% accuracy versus doctors at 73%. Even doctors with AI only got to 78%.
Wow.
But it's more than diagnostics. It's acting as a super accelerant for drug discovery, slashing costs, democratizing access. Tools like OpenAI's Health Bench,
Okay.
which aims to integrate AI directly into the health world, that's just the beginning. So it signals a shift towards personalized preventative care becoming the norm.
Exactly. Leveraging massive data sets to move from reactive treatment, fixing things when they break, to proactive health management, preventing the breaks in the first place.
Making expensive treatments more readily available, too, potentially.
That's the promise, a democratization of medicine.
It really sounds like we're shifting, like you said, from a reactive repair model to a proactive prevention model. Kedar Aiti talks about this, right? Health 2.0 versus Health 3.0.
He does, yeah, in his book Outlive, which is definitely a great read for anyone interested.
Yeah, highly recommend it.
Health 2.0 is about treating disease after it showed up. Health 3.0 is all about preventing it, stopping you from even getting sick, often through deep analytics and really early intervention.
And crucially, this isn't just about living longer, is it? It's about health span.
Yes, that's so important. It's not just adding years to life, but life to years. And what's fascinating, the research actually shows the longer you live, the fewer years you tend to spend in frail health or a care home.
Really? That seems counterintuitive.
It does, but it suggests these interventions push back the decline significantly. You get more healthy, vibrant years. My own grandmother, for instance, lived a long life, but after a stroke, 8 years unable to speak or move one side.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah. Whereas my grandfather was healthy, active, right up until he passed suddenly. We're aiming for more of the latter, adding quality life to your years.
Makes sense. Okay, so beyond AI, we're also seeing huge breakthroughs in directly repairing and regenerating the body itself, right?
Absolutely. Like the cost of getting your human genome sequenced. It's fallen way faster than even Moore's Law predicted.
Which makes this incredibly advanced medicine suddenly much more accessible.
Exactly. And think about the real world transformations. We're seeing actual cures.
Like sickle cell disease.
Yes. Recently cured through gene therapy. Someone who was severely limited then went on to climb Kilimanjaro. Previously unimaginable.
Oh, that's amazing.
Then there's the incredible potential of stem cell work. You've got companies like HeartWorks developing ways to repair a damaged heart inside you, or even create a brand new bespoke heart unique to your body. Another stem cell business, Immunis, is making really bold claims about treating almost every disease.
It gets even more kind of sci-fi. Scientists can now grow human organs inside pigs.
Yeah, using an animal as a sort of biological incubator to create replacement parts. But even beyond that,
3D printing organs.
3D printing human organs, not just organs, but bones, most parts of the body. Imagine needing a new knee and they just print you one, tailor-made.
It really is science fiction becoming reality.
And this precision extends to personalized medicine, too, developing bespoke treatments for cancer, celiac disease, Alzheimer's.
Wow.
By analyzing your specific genome, your unique biology, and creating a therapy that targets your specific challenges, moving beyond one size fits all.
It sounds like incredible stuff is happening in labs.
Mm.
But for the average person, what does this look like day to day? Are these tools actually accessible yet?
That's the really exciting part. A lot of this power is already becoming accessible, sometimes right in your pocket.
Our smartphones.
Yeah. These devices, way smarter than the computers that got us to the moon, are rapidly turning into diagnostic tools.
Like how?
Imagine doing a urine test at home and an app just analyzes the colors on the strip instantly. Precise results, basically zero cost.
Okay.
Or a small device you attach to your phone to check for ear infections. Healthcare, right there, instantly available.
And we're seeing tech that can pick up heart rate, blood pressure, just from a photo of your face.
Yeah, or even diagnose things like hypertension or blood glucose levels just from the sound of your voice.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Then there are the wearables, of course. Watches doing ECGs.
And the Oura Ring. Tracking sleep, predicting pregnancy even before traditional tests can, detecting early signs of COVID.
It's all about continuous monitoring, getting those early warning signals.
Exactly, right at your fingertips.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond wearables now to ingestibles and patchables.
Ingestibles.
Mm-hmm.
Like swallowing tech.
Yeah, at Abundance 360, someone actually demonstrated swallowing a pill bot.
A robot pill.
A tiny robot. Currently, maybe the size of a small jelly bean, but they expect it to shrink to like a grain of rice.
And what does it do?
It can roam around your body, spot something like a cyst, maybe snip it off, or even release medicine exactly where it's needed.
Incredible. And patchables.
Adhesive sensors you stick on. They can continuously measure glucose, lactate, blood pressure, even analyze your sweat during a run.
Okay, that's revolutionary for accessibility.
Yeah.
What about treatments for more serious conditions? We heard about something called open water.
Ah, open water. That's a truly groundbreaking wearable device you place on your head.
On your head? For what?
This technology, incredibly, is shown to be 5 times more effective than traditional chemotherapy.
5 times? Wow.
And it can also treat mental health illnesses. It currently costs about £10,000.
Still pricey for most.
Right. But the developers expect to get it down to around £1,000.
That would be a game changer.
Making advanced cancer treatment and mental health support accessible to almost everyone, potentially from their own home.
And the democratization just keeps going, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Portable ultrasound machines plugging into smartphones.
Yeah, costing $1,000 instead of $200,000. Suddenly, doctors in, say, rural Africa can have access to this vital diagnostic tool.
Mental health is a huge focus, too.
Right.
FDA-approved computer games for ADHD.
Right. And even humanoid robots that can have therapeutic conversations, potentially helping combat loneliness, which is a massive health issue.
And underlying a lot of this is AI's ability to connect the dots, isn't it? You mentioned Steve Brown.
Yeah, Steve Brown, a top AI expert, he uploaded all his past medical results into an AI after doctors couldn't find anything conclusive.
Mm-hmm.
The AI correctly flagged melanoma. Specialists had repeatedly missed it.
Whoa.
The human experts knew their individual pieces of information, but the AI put all the pieces together. It saw the hidden pattern.
That's powerful. And when you start combining these different technologies,
the impact becomes exponential.
Yeah.
Imagine a wearable device paired with, say, a bespoke neuroplastin tablet, making massive inroads into depression in literally one day.
The sheer volume and synergy.
Yeah.
It's kind of staggering. If you're looking for a resource to keep track, you mentioned digital.health.
Yeah, digital.health is a good starting point to explore what's out there.
Okay. So with all these incredible advancements reshaping our future, the immediate practical takeaway brings us back, doesn't it?
It does. Back to that point. How do you make sure you don't die of something stupid in the short term? Because if you can actively look after yourself for, say, the next 10 years, you might genuinely live long enough to potentially see 150 or even longer.
And the main culprits we need to watch out for?
Yeah.
The big four killers.
Right. Heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and cancer. Those are the big ones.
And they account for a huge percentage of mortality, right?
Right.
Like 23% heart disease, 25%. Diabetes.
Yeah, about 10% from Alzheimer's and cancer. Something like 40% of people risk getting it, 20% risk dying from it. Big numbers.
So what can you do right now? It really seems to go back to the fundamentals Peter Attia talks about.
Exactly. Diet, exercise, sleep, and managing your mental health. The basics, but they're foundational.
Let's break those down a bit. Diet.
Diet is absolutely crucial. Reduce sugar, definitely reduce deep fried foods. Lean towards more vegetables than meat.
Okay.
And maybe more meat than grains. Tools like the Zoe app, maybe combined with a continuous glucose monitor, can help you understand how your specific body reacts to foods.
Personalized nutrition again.
Yep. And surprisingly, those sugar-free alternatives, sometimes almost as bad as sugar itself, they can still trick your digestive system.
Good to know. Okay, exercise. You mentioned V2 max earlier as maybe the single most accurate measurement for longevity.
Yeah, V2 max. It essentially measures your body's maximum capacity to use oxygen during exercise.
Like aerobic fitness.
Exactly. It's a proxy for your aerobic fitness.
Yep.
The higher your V2 max, the more efficiently your body delivers oxygen. And remarkably, that directly correlates with a longer lifespan.
Your body's engine efficiency.
Kind of, yeah. And muscle mass, by the way, is the second most accurate predictor.
Interesting.
If you can just move from the third quartile to the first quartile in your age group for V2 max, you literally have your mortality risk.
Have it, just by improving V2 max.
That's what the data suggests. While I often recommend, say, 30 minutes of exercise a day, Peter Attia actually suggests aiming for 90 minutes.
Wow, 90 minutes is a lot.
It is a commitment. But remember, sitting is the new smoking, so even just a standing desk makes a difference.
Good point. Okay, sleep, another big one.
Huge, and often overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Measuring your sleep, tracking it maybe with an Oura ring or something similar is essential. Because what gets measured gets managed, right?
True. And mental health.
Absolutely vital. Chronic stress is just, it's a significant health decliner. Tools like Headspace, regular meditation, even just journaling can significantly boost overall health.
And having a sense of purpose.
Incredibly important. Especially if you're thinking about big life changes, like maybe selling a business. Knowing what comes next matters.
So for a real world example, Dr. David Sinclair himself, the guy who thinks LEV tech is already here, what does he actually do?
Right. His routine is pretty intense. Every morning he takes resveratrol, metformin, NMN, vitamin D, vitamin K, and aspirin.
That's quite a cocktail.
It is. He keeps sugar, bread, pasta intake really low, skips one meal a day or makes it tiny, gets his blood checked every few months for key biomarkers.
Exercise.
Walks a lot. Always takes the stairs, hits the gym most weekends, and he uses a sauna and an ice-cold plunge pool.
The sauna and cold plunge thing. Does that really help?
Apparently, studies suggest a 20-minute daily sauna or even just a 30-second cold plunge can add about 5 years to your lifespan.
5 years. Wow. Okay. Diet-wise?
Eats a lot of plants, a little meat, avoids microwave plastic, tries to stay on the cool side day and night.
That's quite a regimen for Dr. Sinclair. It really underlines that this isn't just theory for these guys.
Not at all. These are practical steps people at the forefront are actually taking.
Are there any parts of his routine that particularly surprise you, or that you think are most impactful for the average person to maybe consider?
I think it's the consistency and the sheer breadth that's impressive. It really highlights that longevity isn't about finding one single silver bullet.
Right, it's holistic.
It's a holistic approach: diet, exercise, supplements, even environment. But what stands out for the average person, it's still those fundamentals.
Cutting sugar, moving more,
prioritizing sleep, managing stress. Those actions, even without all the supplements, have profound impacts, and they're accessible to pretty much everyone right now.
Makes sense. And you think about, what was it, the oldest person to finish an Ironman was 85.
Yeah, and someone over 100 ran a marathon. The potential to extend not just life, but healthy, active life, it's genuinely here.
And this changes everything, doesn't it? From how you set personal goals, plan retirement, even business strategy.
Absolutely. If you are, say, a financial planner doing cash flow forecasts, and suddenly your clients might live to 150 instead of 90.
That's a completely new, fascinating problem to solve.
Totally different ball game.
So, okay, wrapping up, we leave you with this core message: life is short.
Until you extend it. And the opportunity to actually do that is rapidly approaching.
Which makes the critical importance of living an amazing life now and proactively looking after yourself in the short term even more vital.
It really ensures you're actually in the game to access these future longevity technologies.
So with all this in mind, here's a provocative thought for you to carry forward. What do you need to stop doing, start doing, and measure in your life, starting right now?
And what do you need to learn? We've mentioned it a few times, but Outlive by Peter Attia is a fantastic starting point for that learning journey.
Definitely. Then consider how the prospect of living to, say, 150 years, maybe longer, how does that impact your personal goals?
Yeah, how might you redefine retirement or your career path? Maybe multiple careers.
And how does this impact others in your life? Your family, your friends, your community?
Maybe gifting books on longevity, like Outlive, to people you care about could be a powerful way to start that conversation, share this insight.
Finally, think about your business. How might client needs change if they're planning for much longer lives?
Are there new opportunities you could seize? Maybe longevity workshops for clients? And what about potential threats?
Threats? Like what?
Well, maybe more clients selling their current businesses earlier to start entirely new ventures because they suddenly have decades more runway than they thought.
Interesting point. Lots to think about.
The point is, you now have the knowledge that life can be extended, not just theoretically, but practically. This isn't just some far-off dream anymore. It's rapidly moving into reality.
And that knowledge brings immense possibility, doesn't it? And empowerment.
Absolutely. So go out there, actively engage with this information, and really start shaping your future in light of these incredible developments.